What up, guys? My name is Disco, and this is my colleague David, and we are here for another episode of Selected Series with JR of Premier Fitness. What up, JR?
Hey. What's up, guys? Good to have you guys.
Thanks for coming, bro.
Yes, bro, definitely. So let's start off, man. Let's start off with who is JR and what is Premier Fitness? Just give us a little background.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was born and raised here. Mm-hmm. You know, went to Cathedral City Elementary School, went to Nellie Coffin Middle School, That's went right. to Cat City High. So I'm a Cathedral City kid, like through and through, you know, and went off to college and thought I wanted to be something else. I thought I wanted to be a broadcast journalist, and it didn't pan out the way I liked it. And so I moved back home and had to find myself and who I really wanted to be, and ended up being a personal trainer.
Wow, man. Jeez. So you're from Cat City. So you were born out in Indio, or were you a Palm Springs kid?
So that's a funny story, because I always tell people, like, how hood or how ghetto are you? And I always tell people, there's only two types of people in the valley. It was those that were born at Desert Hospital.
Yes, sir.
And those, we call those the rich kids. And then there's us of us that were lucky to survive and make it out of JFK, bro.
I agree, man. So you grew up in Cat City, and you said you played sports your whole life, right?
Yeah. Whoa. I played mostly baseball. Okay. Like, baseball was my sport. Played a little football from elementary school. I mean, from middle school all the way down to high school. Okay. But baseball was like bred in our family. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so you're a big Dodger fan, I see.
Yeah, big Dodger fan, big baseball fan, period, man. Okay. But, you know, it's just kind of like that's the family sport. You know what I mean?
So,
It's the sports you guys watched as kids with your whole family?
Yeah, man. Like, that started off with, like, you know, like my grandparents and like, there was never any other option, like, to like any other team. Like, that's who we watched. And, you know,
It's a bonding time.
Do you have family from like LA? Like, you guys would go out there and
watch
games?
That's the funny
stuff?
Part, bro, is that not one single person from LA.
Really?
Like, everyone's from here.
I think it's like by default, like,
yeah,
SoCal,
just
like,
it's
you
so
have
close,
to, like,
yeah.
You're Latino, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So we grew up, but I mean, there's the Palm Springs Angels used to have, like, out here,
right.
You know, and the California Angels. So we were there all the time, bro. It's crazy, because I guess you don't realize, like, that you're poor and broke because you fucking do so much stuff. Oh, sorry about language.
Bro.
But you don't realize, like, how many opportunities, how many things you did, like, even though we were broke. You know what I mean? Like, we went out to go see the Angels, like, all the time, bro. I mean, I saw all kinds of players, you know, the Jim Edmonds, you know, Ricky Henderson, the Mark McGuire's, the Jose Canseco, like, all these dudes that used to come out to Palm Springs like it was nothing. So,
dude,
that's crazy.
Right. When that, do you remember when that stopped?
I want to say, like, mid-90s, dude. Okay. Like, late 90s, like, maybe 96, 97, I think, was when they started, like, not coming back here.
So, man, tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into the fitness game, why you got into the fitness game. Let's get to the origin story, bro.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy origin story, man. So it involves, like, my ex, man. My ex did something to you. It's,
we like
it's,
that sometimes.
It's crazy, but yeah. So I went through this relationship, but I want to talk about it, man, because I don't think it's ever, like, placed of enough importance about, you know, your mental health, and especially during these times, you know, with COVID, kind of like, make anybody realize who they really are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we get so caught up in everyday life that we're too busy to focus on who we really are. So I had to do a gut check. Yeah, she broke up with me after like 7 years because I was overweight. Wow. You know, and growing up as a little kid, like, I was always a little overweight, And so that, like, destroyed me, bro.
Right.
I mean, completely destroyed me. And, you know, We were been together for 7 years. We had a daughter, you know what I mean? So I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with this girl. And, and you know, it's crazy how it works. But, you know, that revenge bod that, you know, I'm gonna show you, like, kind of got me into the fitness game. And started working out of grip. And next thing you know, like, it just hit me that that was the passion that was going to define my life story.
Right.
You know what I mean? Was I was going to help people get out of feeling like I did that day as much as possible.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think to the audience, too, that, like, listens to this later, I think it's relatable for a lot of people, you know? It's like that. it becomes like the revenge bod, but it becomes more than that. It's like, it becomes that whole like therapy session, going to the gym every single day. Yeah. I can relate to you. Yeah. I mean, that's why I started going to 111, and that's why I started doing the podcast thing. You know, it got me out of that. So definitely it's very relatable to the common person, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, nobody really wants to talk about that kind of stuff, because everyone wants to go and act like their shit's all together and life is good. You know what I mean? But as a trainer, you start to see these people for their intimate selves, and you start to see their true personalities come out, their insecurities, their securities, you know, and you help with that. And people don't realize that it's so much more mental than it really is physical when it comes to working out and training people and letting those endorphins out, you know. And I always tell people, especially during these times now, it's important for you to get out, you know what I mean? Run, walk, crawl, whatever it is you got to do, but just get out there, because, you know, this mental health is really going to be a big thing, you know, with this COVID thing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you about the mental health aspect.
Okay, there you go.
Let's now
go.
Now that we're in COVID times, I guess, the whole social distancing aspect of being you're a personal trainer, and there's social distancing. Does that affect like the type of training that you do with your athletes?
Yeah, well, it does, you know, just because, you know, our gym's required to be outside now, so that kind of helps out a little bit. And we wear masks, and we try to prevent it as much as possible, you know what I mean?
Right.
But at the end of the day, there's certain things that you got to do to be close to someone. So
what are the kind of things you do to make people feel safe in the 111 gym that you guys have?
Well, at 111, man,
You're at several different gyms, right?
Because No. I'm there full time.
Are you doing your boxing stuff out of there too?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I do everything out there now. So, you know, with 111 Conditioning Club, it's been a blessing, man, because, like, I feel we've always been at the forefront of making sure our place is clean, and Jaime does a really great job.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, with all that. And then we go above and beyond. I mean, we spray, wipe down, like, all the pieces of equipment. We try to not let anyone else use it before we wipe it down and stuff like that. So it's just, at the end of the day, man, we've had to adapt and either say, okay, we can do this, and I could cry and bitch and moan about how much more time it takes. But at the end of the day, like, just like everything, man, we've had to adapt and overcome, because if not, you're going to get left behind, bro. And, yes, and you know, and we don't want to be like that.
You guys are great role models in that aspect that, like, you guys started, like, even Renee got hooked with you guys out there, and he's I don't know if he's there more than you guys. I swear. Every day is like he's at 111
every day.
Nah, dude, I definitely
and it seems like he has a commitment to bring you guys up with him too.
I think it's like what we were talking about earlier. It's like we inspire each other. I feel like you guys inspire me to keep going, obviously, with like everything that you guys do there, but it's like a cycle, you know, being there every single week. It's like keep coming back.
You guys
back.
Are holding
like,
each other accountable.
Right. It's that accountability.
Like, I'm
definitely
here to train, and you're here to work out and get yourself a better bod.
Right. And kind of going into that, something we talked about earlier, for me, I was going to the gym because we've talked about this, is it made me feel, it gave me the same feeling of when I played soccer, being that teamwork, you know, that whole team thing. That's why I went, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people that used to be athletes, you know, go to the gym and train with you. And I think that's something we were talking about earlier, is the whole, you know, your a lot of your demographic is ex-athletes or current athletes, you know, like set from Seb's level to somebody like me that just goes to try to get in shape, you know. So what's kind of like your insight on that?
So the thing that when I meet any person that is interested in working out or wants to work out, you know, we kind of have this little orientation. We sit down, and I kind of get to know that person a little bit. Because, you know, we were talking about it earlier before we started, you know, typing, as far as I'm big on energy, man.
Right.
Energy has to be there. And that's why I like to get to know that person before I train them, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm blessed to be, like, a really busy trainer. Like, that goes above and beyond. But I think a lot of that has to do with the simple fact that I'm selective and careful as far as who comes in to my
energy
domain and my energy, because I don't need that, you know, to be transferred over, because then that kind of, it's like letting a little cancer cell in.
Right.
Once you let a little cancer cell in, then it starts to, like,
infiltrate
and go, and eventually is going to bring everything apart. And so with Jaime and I, that's how Jaime and I started working together, is that I loved what he was about, man, and we've known each other since we were, you know, freshmen in high school, and we trained somewhere else together, and once I knew that he was going to open up his spot, I was like, hey, dude, like, you got to let me jump in with you.
Sweet.
Right. And it worked out because he was like, hey, I wanted to ask you, but I didn't. At the same time, I didn't want to take you away from this place, right. You know what right. I mean? Because so, Jaime's very, like, cautious about,
right.
You know, making sure that, you know, he doesn't offend anyone. Or, right. So it worked out great, but getting back to the energy, you know, it's just every person that I've ever come across training has never said that they don't want to be more athletic.
Right.
Think about that, right? Everyone's got different ideas and viewpoints on what a great athlete looks like or is like.
Right.
And so that's kind of like where I start to get to know people, is I ask them, you know, like off the gate, like, all right, I hear you say you want to lose 30 pounds, right? Everyone comes with the goal and they have a mind frame of what their weight wants to look like, right? But they don't realize that the whole muscle and fat thing is a big difference. You mean because muscle weighs more than fat. So even though you say you want to be 165, what you're describing is more like 185.
Right.
Replacing muscle with fat, or fat with muscle, I'm sorry. And so that's why I always make it easy, and I kind of break it down, and I always tell them, you know, if you could look like any athlete, like, who would that be? Right. And that gives me a better idea of what they're thinking in their head.
Right.
And then
LeBron James.
Right, LeBron. You know, like LeBron James.
Saying,
like,
make this body.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously I can't make you 6'8 and black, but I can make you look athletic like that. You know what I mean? So, but it's funny, but it really brings people down, because then it says, okay. And then it gets them into that mindset that, you know, what you talked about, you know, that the athletic mindset is you get into that zone, and we've all played sport at some point in our lives.
Right.
Whether you played, you know, peewee for like a year or two,
right.
or you were a athlete all your life, you know what I mean? You get into that zone, and it starts to bring back those childhood memories, those feel good moments. So once you're there, it's already set up, and that's why it's so big at 111, because, you know, there's like, I believe we're up to like 5 or 6 trainers now, but that vibe, going back to that situation where you feel comfortable coming in every day, is that no matter who this client is, who, you know, I don't decide I'm not going to talk to you because you're not my client.
Right.
I mean, I think you and I have gone to know pretty close. You know what I mean?
Right.
You just barely started coming to the Box Fit class.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's that energy and that vibe that we all have set there, that we're not going to allow negative energy to flow into our place. And I think that's what makes our place so successful. And I think that's what makes it so attractive.
Right.
Is that vibe is there.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that we get to kick your ass in between that.
Right. I mean, that's why you guys got Best Gym, you know?
Yeah.
Shout out to Desert Sun giving you guys an award.
Yeah, that was huge, man. That was huge.
But yeah, dude, I definitely, it's like how you're saying, it's just like, no matter what, I'm not a fucking professional boxer, but every Wednesday I go and it's like game day. You know, it's like I'm prepping myself, like, boom, I'm about to. We keep talking about it. Yeah. He wants to go to one of your classes.
Yeah.
He was like, shit, dude, I should have gone to one of those classes. But that's what it is for me. And it brings that, no matter if it's you, Jaime, you know, you guys, that gym. But definitely your class brings a different energy. Kicks my ass every single time, dude. But it's like a gain. And I think you inspire me outside of that Box Fit class.
Yeah.
Anyways, bro. I mean, I think it's your personality and all that. And speaking kind of like on what we were talking about before we were talking about like how athletes, I just got a brain fart. Professional athlete, or people that were professional athletes, like, what was I trying to get at? Your message to people that aren't athletes anymore, but that still want to, like, or maybe curious about trying your class out or having a session with you or anything like that.
Well,
I think that's kind of what we're talking
about. It's because it happens a lot, you know, not necessarily professionally, but then you have college athletes and you have, you know, people who played in high school and stuff like that, and they kind of, life kind of takes them in a different direction, and you know, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad, when it comes to physical health. But, you know, those kind of people, they're really dope to work with, because they already have that mentality set in.
Right.
You know that.
Kobe mentality.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That they were athletes, so they know what that feeling is like.
Right.
You know, and so that, but again, that's why I treat all my clients like they were former athletes or like they were athletic.
That's what we're saying.
Because that, it, to me, is I've never met anyone who doesn't want to be more athletic.
Right.
And so that makes my, you know, my, going back to what we're talking about, you know, now I have that person who has that, who wants to be more athletic and has that vision of what they want their body to look like. And so I we talked about this, and that's where my ability as an artist comes into play. You know?
Can you give us an example of how, like, say, let's say you being a coach to yourself back in the day before when your ex lady told you, hey, you're overweight, you're fat.
Yeah.
Like you walking into the gym and you being that coach, like what would you tell that person? You know how put yourself on like both situations and you're the coach, the dude's coming in trying to get advice, like how would you approach it? Because you've been a former athlete yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyone who's ever played sports, you know, that agony of defeat just kills you. And I always tell people there's only two ways to respond, is you can continue to feel bad and be a victim and go play and not realize it, or you can look back, look at the tape and see what happened.
What
could we have done different in this situation to avoid that loss, right?
Right.
So I don't like to dwell too much on the past when it comes to that. But I do definitely like to work with those people because those are a little bit more motivated, I feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they have some, and whatever I got to get you to hang on to initially is I'm going to continue that. And then once we get past that, then it's like, okay, let's move on to something else. Why are we really here? You know what I mean? Right. So it's a pitch and go, and it's a sensitive thing to discuss with people because, you know, not everybody wants to be so open. So then me as a trainer have to realize that. That's where the psychologist in me has to come in and be like, okay, like let's not dig too deep because, you know, they're not ready for that yet. Or they're all about it. Let's use that for motivation. So a lot of times people don't realize as trainers, the easy part is to tell you to do 15 of those.
Right.
Yeah.
You mean? The thing where it gets tough and you get what I call real trainers are those that are able to invite you in.
Yeah.
Right.
And let you feel comfortable. You know what I mean? It's like talking to one of your dogs. You know what I mean? Talking to one of your homies that are saying, I'm going through this.
Right.
Because people don't realize, like, I see you more than you probably see half your family. Yeah.
Right.
Because you're coming in 3 to 4 days a week. You know what I mean? And we start to get to know you. In that hour, it's just you and me.
Right.
You know, so eventually we're going to get to know each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's what I think sets me apart from a lot of other trainers is that, A, I'm relatable, and I like to have a little bit of fun and but at the same time, you're going to get a great workout because at the end of the day, that's what I'm here to do. But I just feel like that's what, you know, keeps me busy and people respond to that, man. And I'm blessed to, you know, on average, I have about, you know, 40 to 60 sessions a week. You know what I mean? So
were you able to fill up those last slots in your schedule?
Yeah. So that's why I posted, you know, when that, you know, I only want three other people to train.
Right.
And it's a crazy thing that I'm able to say that. But, again, being careful of who I choose and want to be around and be like that, you know, because I'm blessed, man. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, like with boxing, the Box Fit class, like it was just.
Love it.
The Box Fit class was just happened to be something that I was really a fanboy, bro. Like.
Right.
Like,
right.
I never went in the ring. I never boxed.
Like, I remember I asked you that one time. I was like, hey, bro, you know, you used to box. And you're like, no, I'm just a big fan.
Yeah.
Like, shit. You know your shit.
I've gotten my ass kicked a couple times in the streets, but that's another story. But, man, but it just started off with being, like, a fan of that grind, you know what I mean?
Right.
And of how tough boxing is. And,
and
the sweet science behind it of all. It's just two people dancing and. People think it's just punching and going, and it's not. It's so much more to it. So much more to it. And just being a fan of it just led me kind of go back into it. And a lot of people don't realize, like, I wasn't that all-star. I wasn't that kid that was naturally talented and everybody wanted to be a part of. No, dude, I was that kid who had to work my ass off just to be able to hang with you guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had to work night and day because I wasn't that great. Right. But that's what set me apart is that even though I didn't wasn't great, I started every game that I played in high school. And that was because I refused to not work hard to be where you wanted to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's what boxing is you can't hide that. Yeah. You know, and that's how, you know,
your flaws will show when
right.
you get punched in the
you
know
what
oh,
mean?
Yeah.
If the work's not
tired.
Done, it's
yeah.
gonna show.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And there's no one else to blame. There's not a head coach to blame, there isn't a defense that didn't set back on yeah. time. You know what I mean? That's what makes it harder,
you're
you know,
right.
and so it's just a different vibe, but
Right, right. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. But speaking that we're on the topic of boxing, you yeah. train Seb.
Yeah.
Seb who's
yeah.
pretty well known in the boxing
yeah.
Game. How did that come about? How did that come about? You know, can you give us a little bit of background on him?
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
You know?
How did you, before we go there, how did you get up to speed with the whole boxing?
Like, right,
like
right.
Like you're talking about how you never stepped into a ring. Like
right.
How long have you been doing training for boxing?
So it all started because there was another kid that was going to be he wanted to hire a trainer, strength and conditioning coach. And you know, knowing I wasn't the greatest athlete in the world, but I worked hard. So I knew what it took to get there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even though I didn't have the natural
That's
ability to do it.
Though, bro.
You know what I mean? It was that I was going to work my ass off to make sure that I could hang with you.
Yeah.
And so that kind of went to the forefront when it came to working out. And so what happened is funny with Sebastian, dude, is that there was a kid that I, you know, got me to train and he kept saying all this stuff, and you have these people who either talk and you know they have that say all these great things or they want to do all these great things, you know. And it turned out he didn't do any of those things that he said he was set out to be. But again, you don't realize like how many like the people you come across with in a daily interaction are going to change your life forever.
Right.
And so he introduced me to Sebastian's older brother and his dad. So Sebastian's older brother was 10-0
wow.
as a professional. Yeah, so that's how we started. Was he, his dad and I clicked. I went. They asked me to go out to the gym what they were training at. I met them and we started getting a vibe and we started, you know, working out with Berto, you know. And Berto was
right.
really good, man. He was 10-0. It's just boxing is a hard thing on personal life.
Right.
So not everyone's cut out for it. And Albert decided to kind of hang it up. And at that time, that's when Sebastian.
Right.
Kind of started getting.
How old was he when you?
I met Sebastian when he was like, I want to say 15 or 16 years
no
old.
No way.
Yeah, and so wow. Sebastian, that we always have this running joke because we'd always joke, and he'd be like, "Oh, like you're gonna train me soon?" I was like, "Ah, oh, well, I only train professionals, bro." like just making the joke, you know,
right,
what I mean? Just
right.
talking shit, just
yeah,
make you
yeah.
know. Yeah, man. But he ended up turning pro and. Him
wow.
and I have been working together for a long time. And
that's dope.
What do you focus more with him on? Is it just you training him, or does he have a whole team of trainers? That
yeah, well, he's got his dad, dude. His dad, Coach Freddie. Coach Freddie is another amazing dude. I really wanted, like, that would really be dope for him to get on here, but
yeah.
he's a little bit more selective about, like, going out, period. But
right.
So it turns out before all this COVID stuff, like, him and I talk. We talk boxing a lot. And we talk about athletic ability and what we got to do. And so we treat every training camp specifically for that fighter of what do I want to work on with Sebastian this time?
Right.
Are we going to work on a lot of legs? Are we going to work on, you know, more power? You know, because growing from being 18 to he's 22 now, there's a lot of difference and shift in the body because he becomes, you know, what I say, you know, you kind of drop your balls a little bit. You become a man. So it's
right.
a different strength. And so after every fight, we kind of sit back on the drawing board and you know, we're blessed that he's, I think, 16-0 now.
Jeez.
And after every fight, though, we've always kind of looked back and see, okay, what could we get better on? What could we – and that's why I love Sebastian, man. Sebastian's a great kid, man. He's humble and you know, he talks about we.
Right.
You know, with Sebastian, it's never like
– Oh, that's cool.
I'm the shit.
Right.
Sebastian's like, you know – the team did a great job.
Right.
We prepped. We did everything, and we got the victory.
Right.
You mean, and that's what sets apart this kid, man. He's something special, man. I tell people all the time, and his dad and I, man, we'd, whew, man, like you talk about the struggle, you know, with you guys as well, you know what I mean?
Right.
Starting up a series and
right.
a podcast and not getting paid for this, you
right.
know what I mean? Because we're on the come up, you know?
Yeah.
And so
you believe in there.
Yeah.
yeah.
You,
right.
Just like you guys believe in this, man.
Right,
it's
right.
an honor to be here. You know, you guys believe in this and the passion's there. And that's where it all starts. And that's what I think doesn't apply to everybody, you know. Right. Sometimes people get that and it's too much and they quit. Ooh. You know, Sebastian was told, you know, he's 6'7", man. He was told by everyone, hey, like, why don't you play basketball?
Right.
And Sebastian's never picked up a ball in his life, man. He probably can't even jump like maybe past like 24 inches. You know what I mean? But the thing with him is that, you know, is that he knew what his dream was.
Right.
That's cool.
Right.
And he wasn't gonna let anyone else get involved in that situation. So that's why I love working with the man, because he's all about it.
Right. His whole family is like a boxing family. Yeah, too, dude, right?
Yeah, they're crazy.
Right. Like his sister's pretty dope boxer too.
His
right?
sister's about to turn pro, man, and I always tell them there's Sebastian and Berto, and they have another little brother that would box for a while too, and then Gabriella. Yeah. And I tell Gabriella, she's the best, dude.
Wow.
And Sebastian's 16-0, and Berto was 10-0, bro. And they're 26-0 combined professionally. And this girl, I'm telling you, she is going to be something special.
Really?
Yeah.
How is she?
She's just graduated high school, so she's just. Oh, okay. She's just about.
How many amateur fights does she have?
Dude, she's got a grip. Yeah. She at some point last year, her junior year in high school, she was like literally ranked number one in the country.
Are you part of that but training camp too?
With Gabby, I've worked with her a little bit, but this whole COVID thing, because we have to, you know, respect that risk of that. So they're kind of they have their own gym at their house in their backyard that set it up. So cool. They just do their thing. Yeah, so unfortunately, it's like a full ring, man.
Right.
So unfortunately. Wow. For these last couple of fights, we haven't been able to work together because we want to keep the safe.
Are they in training camp right now, any of them?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they're always in training camp, man. That's what, again, that's going back, that's what they're all about, dude. Job. Like, that's their job. So, and Sebastian talks about it all the time is, you know, he, after every fight, you know, most fighters will take like a couple of months off and wait till the next fight is announced to continue to work out. And with Sebastian, we just kind of have to sometimes, like, hold the reins back a little bit and be like, hey, dude, no, chill. You know what I mean? Like, no working out. So, but, he's back in it now. And
because his last fight was really good.
Yeah, man. He's on the verge of superstardom, man. Oh, like, man. If he's going to be there. And people don't realize. But we put the work in. He's put the work in, and he continues to work hard and do his thing. And I'm proud of the kid, man. It's crazy. Yeah.
You mentioned something earlier about – I've never heard that from somebody who works in fitness, but every time we bring somebody on here, we kind of, no matter what kind of art they do, we always try to describe it as you're an artist. You said something about you being an artist as a trainer, and you know, being that your athletes are your canvases. You know, can you talk about a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So again, going back to how I talk to people about. When they first get with me, is I always tell them, what athlete do you have in vision when you see your future fitness goals, right? So then they'll tell me an athlete, and then that's where my brain as an, I consider an artist, comes into play, and then I start to kind of like, okay, this is where we're going. So then my whole workout program gets designed, and it goes to that. To become that. Now, whether they hold their end of the bargain down or not, that's more so on them. But I try everything in my will, in my power, to be able to make that happen.
To paint that picture.
And see and paint that picture. Yeah, man. So. Yeah.
It's a dope analogy to have in fitness. I've never heard of it. So.
Yeah. It's just, it's a game plan, you know, and you have that canvas and you have the ability to do with it what you want.
All right.
So that's why, man.
Going into 2021, what is your, like, goal for this year as a trainer or as a person. In your personal life? Like, do you have any desires to take your business into the next level?
It's all good. You know, that's a very interesting question, and I feel like the generic answer is I want to continue to get busier, and I want to continue to do the things that are going to make me successful, and I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. But I'm not settled, but I fucking love my job. I love what I do for a living.
Right.
And my goal is just to be able to continue to bring that passion to my business and to my personal life, because I feel like if I put that energy out there that I'm content and happy with everything, then now again, and this is where, like, I get into this whole spiritual shit, man, because something that's really changed my life around is with my wife, because we talk about, and she talks about it more than I do, but I can't help but to resuscitate some of the stuff that goes on. And, you know, we're always focused on the next.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or you're always focusing on the, oh, shit, the bills, this, this, and that. So she's kind of really, like, changed my perspective on life, man. And like, I give out everything I have, whether it comes to family life, where it comes to my business, because only then am I able to receive more.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if I tell myself every day my fucking plate is full and I can't work anymore, I have too many clients, or I have this, or it's too crazy.
Right.
Well, how are you going to grow?
Right.
If you're telling yourself that, it's like you want your plant to grow, but you're not watering it.
Right.
Right. Right. And then, but when we water the plant, there's always something in the bottom, right, to filter out, to let the water out, right?
Right.
So that's exactly what we got to do with, I feel, our lives is accept and be like, I deserve all this.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and not to have that imposter syndrome that we talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
We do certain things and we're like, whoa, like we kind of amaze ourselves, but it's like, yo, like you've been growing.
Yes.
To get to this point that we're at now.
Right.
So like, pat yourself in the back and keep it pushing. Like you are where you're supposed to be in that. You know, it's not like you didn't earn that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sometimes we're so worried about what that our goal angle is, we don't reflect and I'm like, oh shit, we've done this.
Do you ever get those breakthrough moments with your athletes and say like, where the athletes like does something that they couldn't do initially, and they look at you and they give you that like,
yeah,
like fucking thank you smirk.
Fuck, or
like,
bro. Dude.
So
like, I can speak for so. Yeah,
so check this out, man. It's crazy you mentioned that. So I have this guy. His name's Pete, man. And he's probably, I love Pete to death, dude. But he's fucking loud. He's like obnoxious. Like he'll let you know that he's working out. He fucking sweats like a madman. He's a big dude. He's a big dude. And I started working out with him, and he was probably about 365, you know, and he's down to like 297.
Damn.
And it's those little things, man. Like he's able to do push-ups. He's able to fucking go down the floor by himself and get him into that position. Whereas before we had to kind of get guided down, and it's crazy, but you don't realize it. You know, it's not like he turned into this crazy specimen, but he's the fucking healthiest dude that I probably know.
Right.
And it's crazy because we wear these heart monitors at our gym, you know, and it's a crazy story. His was super low one day, or super high. Sorry, super high. And I was like, well, that's weird. And he goes, yeah, it doesn't get off or go down. And I was like, all right. So something told me that some shit wasn't right. Right. So I said, he took that belt off, and then on the treadmill, he's able to, you put your hands on it and it'll tell your heart rate, and it stayed about the same, you know. And this is where kind of like that technology story, because I have my watch, you know, and I just knew something was off. I could tell because his heart rate was like super high. I think it was like 180. It wouldn't drop from 180. And so he hopped on the treadmill, hopped off, and I had put on my watch, and on my watch I'm able to measure your heart rate too. And so he did it, and it was high. And I said, Pete, dude, you got to stop, bro. You got to go to the hospital. Something's up. And, man, if he ended up going to the hospital and he was in danger of having a heart attack.
Jeez. There at the gym?
Yeah.
Wow.
And if we would have kept going, they said about another hour, he would have had a
stroke.
You know what I mean? But he ended up going to the emergency room, and you know, and you don't realize that, man. But, yeah, something so simple as being aware of your client and
right.
what their body is like.
Save his life.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah, man. So
how's Pete doing?
Pete's still at it.
Yeah.
He's still working out. He works with me like 3 times a week, man. He's a great kid, great guy, dude. He's just, you know, again, going back to that whole thing, you know, you look at this dude and you're like, oh, man, this dude's like, you know, not in good shape, but he really is. He's an amazing fucking shape, dude, and it's just crazy.
So speaking a little bit on getting to your goal again and all that, you had a rough pass. Obviously, not only like your heartbreak, but you had some things that you, trials and tribulations that you kind of went through. Do you want to kind of talk a little bit about that and how that molded your mindset as a trainer to train people and be able to help them get out of that too? Kind of like we were talking about the depression thing.
Yeah.
Especially right now.
Talk
about that with
we'll talk
mental
about mental health. And then not only that, but in my world, like, there's no getting around it, you know, like steroids right. play a big, big, big role in our, in the gym world, you know, yeah. and a lot of people just think it's like these big bodybuilders that take right. it. And, yeah, man. Now I when I first became a trainer, I lost a shitload of weight, dude. I was, I think I was like 232 when I was, you know, for me, that was heavy.
Oh, was that your highest?
Yeah. And then I dropped down all the way down to 164.
Damn.
Yeah, it was. I look sucked up, bro. Like,
wait, how tall are you?
I'm 5'10", dude.
Oh, so
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's that's suit, you know. So I look sucked up. And when I started becoming a trainer, I was a skinny dude, like no muscle, just all skinny. Like, and I was always felt super conscious about my body and my physique and how sucked up I looked, and I didn't look healthy. And yeah, man. So I started using steroids to kind of bulk up, and it kind of, like, I used drugs a lot, you know what I mean? Like, coke and, like, a lot of stuff. And
right.
a combination of all that. And then I started doing steroids, man. And that kind of, like, made my life, like, fall apart because it's fucking wow. insane, dude. Like,
wow.
like, cocaine, like, steroids, drinking is, like, that's wow. the recipe for disaster.
How long was that for?
It was...
Initially, probably like initially when you first started, you used that as a coping mechanism to continue working out and stuff?
Or? Well, I used it because I wanted to be big, dude. I wanted to be huge. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the only way to do it was I worked with a bunch of other...
So you at one point got shredded.
I was pretty big, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I was never super big, but I was pretty big enough to where I felt really, really good about myself. But mental part.
Right.
Yeah.
Like shit, man.
Right.
Because I was battling all these demons and going through that. And then.
This was after the breakup.
Yeah, this was after the breakup. Okay. Yeah, after the breakup, you know. And so I was using that, you know, to get revenge and look all big and intimidating and stuff like that. And yeah, man, my life really started falling apart. Huh. You know, like it's just, yeah, the combination of drugs and alcohol was just not good. And so I had to get sobered up, man.
What moment did you realize, like, dude, I need to get it together. Like, what changed it for you?
Fuck, dude.
Because you already had a daughter, no?
Yeah, yeah. So, it's crazy. A lot of people don't like talking about it, but, yeah, there was an incident. Fuck.
You don't have to talk
about it. No, it's all good. I'm okay with it. It's just, it
gets to you.
It gets to me because, yeah, man. So, steroid rage hit really hard.
Oh, really? Mm.
Yeah, and I did something to my daughter that I still live with regret to this day. I mean, I didn't like, you know, I grabbed her really hard.
Right.
You know, and that's when I realized, like, what the fuck? Because it was like an out-of-body experience, though. Like, you're so fucking angry because the steroids fucking just do this shit to you, you know what I mean, that no one wants to talk about, and it just fucking makes you a fucking animal, bro. Like,
right.
It's like fucking... when the fucking Hulk starts to fucking...
And there's no control.
There's no control.
Because you saw the testosterone?
Yeah, because you got testosterone flowing into your system like a maniac, dude. You know what I mean? So you're just fucking constantly like ready to go, whether it's ready to fucking go lift or ready to go fucking fight someone, you know? And she said something and I fucking grabbed her and I was like, what the fuck am I doing, dude?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That set you back?
Yeah. Because, you know, it's weird. Like, I had that experience where you're like, physically doing there, and then like there was another me like standing over like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
You mean? And so that's what kind of got me sobered up, man. And I
just like that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah. I started going to meetings and like through a 12-step program, and fucking, I got like 8 years sober. And
there you go. You mean?
And so it's crazy, that's but that's great, another thing that sets me apart. I feel from the trainers, like, not that there's anything wrong with it, but it gave me the ability to be clear-minded all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And not be
not filled, fogged up
with all the stuff. Not that anyone else is like that. I'm saying for me personally. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
That's one less weight you have to
Bear. One less something else to trip about. You know what I mean? So it's crazy.
But I think, too, you know, it sets you apart in the way that you could connect with somebody who is going through that somebody might not understand. Right. Because, you know, it's like not everybody has those trials and tribulations. Right. So you're able to dig deep and be able to show and be vulnerable to somebody.
Right.
And like, hey, I've been there before. You can get out of it. You know.
Right. It's just that, it's that human aspect, man. It's like we got to start, you know, treating each other like fucking humans, you know, especially like all this shit going on in the political world and stuff like that. Right. It's just, we fucking forgot about how to be human, man. Like, just think about that.
Just empathy, because we're so disconnected. Right. We don't have the ability to feel for others. Like, we're kind of focused on ourselves.
Right. Because think about it. And when was the last time you fucking felt really great about some shit and you said to yourself, oh, I'm going to call my homie?
Yeah.
Right.
But I try what to do we hate, do? I call these what fools do with instead, never though? Answer.
When we feel fucking some good shit, what do we do? Oh, I gotta post this shit on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is, and that's great and all, but we've lost that human aspect, man. And that's why,
man.
As a trainer, like that's what kind of fucking helps me keep myself in check, because I have to deal with be involved with like a human contact, you know, and go through all that. You
I
know
agree,
what I mean?
Man. I see that in you, and I see that connection that you have, like, with a community too, and kind of about that.
Let's
like,
do that.
You ran for city, Cat City, bro. Yeah. So can you tell us like what got you into that journey?
He had a lot of support from his community. I kept hearing great things about you.
Yeah, man. So it's just
the things you've been involved with.
I get goosebumps, man, because that's another thing. Now I'm 38, man. So now there's so much more involved, and it's no longer just me, and it's just I don't want to leave this earth without leaving some sort of personal fucking legacy.
And letting
someone know, because I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I wasn't that kid, whether when it came to athletics or fucking being popular. Like, I was like kind of like that high school crowd that you kind of like fucking just get left out. You mean where I wasn't athletic enough to kick it with all the athletes, or I wasn't super popular enough to kick it with all the popular kids. I was kind of like what you call like extras on a TV show,
or
you know what I mean, like
or the kid that got picked last.
Yeah, you know what I mean, or like I mean, not last, you know what I mean, like just kind of in the middle, like not even last, because I wasn't like that bad, but like at the same time, like it was easy to just kind of like
to walk away from
certain things, you know, like yeah, so
right.
Thanks for sharing, bro. A lot of people are not willing to open up this much.
Right.
And it just shows that the human element of what you do, like, there has to be a connection. There has to be, like, empathy as a trainer to be like, hey, you're not where you're at, but you could get to this point.
Right.
Like, seeing people's potential and having – and just harnessing and harvesting that drive that they have into something that you guys both can come to, like, understanding, like – yeah, these might be your physical, like, limits.
Right.
But let's focus on your strengths and like let's build on certain things.
Yeah.
I used to run a lot in school.
Really badass. Fastest guy in the valley at one point.
The people that I learned the most were like my coaches. Yeah. I didn't really have a lot of, maybe one or two teachers, and I went through high school, university and stuff, and I can only like remember two or three names out of my teachers.
Who was it? I want to know.
My teachers.
Your two guys.
I had an art teacher in college, and I had my architecture teacher. She was like this most. I thought she was a badass, bro. Like she's just this.
Intelligent, just
she's just this chilanga from fucking really? From Mexico that was teaching architecture and was always going against the grain. Like, it was constantly hated on because she had a voice. She was very opinion oriented. She always wanted to have like her way because she had a goal in mind.
Right.
And I think that's what JR like has in common with these people in my life. Like I always hold them dear, and like that's something that these people that train with you, you're like attached to them forever, and that's your legacy as well, like in your community. That's a part of what you're doing with Premier Fitness, with the people that you're training. Like we don't ever want to disappear, like as humans.
Right.
That's why we have children, like to leave our seed. But as artists, we're constantly always trying to leave something that is either where there's a mural or like a hieroglyph and shit. Right. Like they just want to be leave their mark.
Yeah.
And this is cool. How do you go into a city like running for city, Like, what is your objective? Because you were talking about how you weren't the best or whatever, but your community, how, like, what are you going to bring to your community, or what were you thinking that you would bring into your community as a city council member?
That whole thing was brought on to the simple fact that I was that kid that I got kind of left in the shadows in high school.
Yeah, I really want to build
is our city is basically into two demographics, dude. I'm going to be fucking 100% blunt, honest with you.
Let's talk about
and
it.
Some people ain't going to like it, and some people are going to be like, oh, yeah, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But our city is broken up into two divisions, dude.
All right.
You have the working 60% who are fucking Hispanic communities.
Right, blue collar.
Blue collar people.
That's right.
And then you have another section of the Cove that's fucking made up by certain classes, certain people that don't have children and, you know, partners, you know, life partners, and nothing wrong with that,
right?
You know, but our city council isn't represented by that, man.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's no.
It's not 100% representing the
average
community.
The average age in those chambers, as far as someone is like fucking, I think like 50 something years old.
Right. Right.
You know, they didn't grow up here.
Right.
There hasn't been a single person that grew up here that has gotten elected.
They were born out of JFK.
And yeah. Yeah, man. And I was tired of seeing that. And I don't want to compare it to anything major or crazy or saying that it is, but it's like South Africa, right? South Africa for the longest time
was
completely...
Right.
Like regulated and by white people, even though most of their population were black. And I'm not making it a race issue. I'm just making an issue of simple fucking demographics, man. Right. Is our city, my skin color, my people, my class. Aren't being represented there. My age ain't being represented there. And Cathedral City has like mostly by the demographics, I think the analytics show that the average age is like, I think like 38.
Wow.
And there's an average of about 1.5 children per household, and not one single member of
have children
there are in that demographic. Oh. So how can we expect someone like that, again going out to the bigger picture,
is
how can we get rid of these fucking Mitch McConnells, these Chuck Schumers, these people have been in there forever. You lost touch.
Yeah.
Right.
And so now these people, I feel that we've lost touch within our own community. We don't have an identity. We think we do. Right. And we want to turn into like mini Palm Springs, and we're fucking not Palm Springs. We're Cathedral City.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's a different fucking.
What do you think of the casino that just got built right across your guys' gym?
I mean, I think it's dope, but that's just another thing. Is the city fucking sold out?
Yeah. Right. Right.
What's still fucking running there?
Right.
During all this, I mean, and nothing against them. I respect it fully, but. They don't have any because it's on sovereign land. The Wowatone bought sovereign land.
Right.
And the city gave up a park.
Park.
Yeah. The school.
A school. No, I don't know if
it was already.
It used to be a school, but the park there. And you know, and it just shows you where they have their mindset. They want to continue. Yeah, but
and
we're
that park
broke.
Was like a first park, in Kansas City.
It was it was like the park where I have a thing. It's like if all my homies grew up on 2nd Street, because that was that park, 2nd Street Park. But they're changing it, everything, and it doesn't change. They can add fucking all the fucking glitter they want, but that's not Cathedral City.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give a voice to those people that are in Cathedral City, you know, but unfortunately it didn't work out. I think I lost by quite a bit, but I did it my way.
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't going to fucking settle and
get
into
this willing
politics.
To do it all over again?
I think so.
Because I think just fucking get that shit boiling.
Just the fucking thing here. It is, dude, is that everyone said it was too young and too immature because I let my feelings out on the gram and on Facebook. And I'm not going to shy away from that, dude. I'll tell you right now, the lady who won and the two other races – between the two, they raised fucking like $55,000. $55,000, dude. For a fucking city appointed thing that you get paid 14 G's a month, 14 G's a year for.
Yeah.
They raised 55 grand, dude.
Jeez.
And meanwhile, we can't get stuff for our kids built because people bitch and moan about it being complaining about it because they don't have enough money.
Right.
But someone gave out 55 G's worth of donations to these people, right?
Right.
I wanted to do it my way, dude. I only took 2 G's, dude.
Right. Wow.
Because during this epidemic, how the fuck am I going to go up to you and all this shit? People are losing homes. People are losing businesses. And I'm going to ask you to donate $1,000 to my campaign.
Right.
That's not me, man.
What don't we do? Like a grassroots.
You mean? So like we did.
The whole community.
You mean? And that's how it started, you know? But the seed's been planted.
Yeah. Right.
You mean?
Sure.
And so, you mean? Hey, see what I did there? You see what I did there?
Sure.
I took broadcast journalism classes long enough in college to know a little something about transitioning. But it's just that's what it's all about. And I just want to know my kids that I tried.
You inspired me in that sense because me and my buddy Eric have talked about. We don't even have we're on unincorporated lands in Morongo Valley, so they don't even have a city council. We don't have that chamber to go in and like figure things out for our community.
That's crazy.
I live in San Bernardino County.
Right.
I wish I grew up in Cass City, so I wish I could be a part of that. But because I'm not a resident in that place, I can't really affect my community. But I can in a way where I can like
show your support.
Show my support by shining light on people like you that are willing to put themselves out there, selfless, transparent, vulnerable for their community. For their community, you know,
that's
I commend you for that.
Yeah, man, it's a grip. And again, I don't like to talk about it much, and I don't even think I've really ever put that out there. But a lot of people don't know, but. Every year, I sponsor two kids, like a girl and a guy, who are into sports, who have good grades, and they train with me 2 to 3 times a week, and I don't charge them a single dime.
Wow,
that's cool.
Giving back to the community, man.
Because it's going back to when I was a kid. I wish I had that coach, you know, that believed in me a little bit more. You know
were your parents involved in like your athletic like growing
nah,
up?
Nah, dude. Nah. Nah, my parents are old school, man. My mom signed me up for baseball, and my dad was just that dude that always like kind of yelled, that old school Mexican dad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like just fucking like, damn, you suck. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is why. That's why I told you. You know what I mean? So now my kids, they do everything, man. Any little sport that they want to jump into, they fucking.
I see it on the gram all the time.
We're going, you know, we rode like 4 miles this morning, like on our bikes, you know what I mean, with the kids. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not perfect, but I'm just trying to, you know, be a little bit better than what my past was, you know what I mean?
Do they want to be trainers too, then now that they see
you? No, I have a little one, dude. My middle one, she's 7, dude, and she's a fucking monster. Dude.
Really?
Yeah, any sport that she does, like, she's good, like, naturally.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of crazy because I grew up like having to work my ass off and this one like picks up a ball. She's like, oh, look, bam. And
she maybe it was it, like, that hidden gene you know in you. You never know.
She gets it from her mother.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, my dad was a jockey and Lauren's dad was actually, and he swam in the Olympics, man.
Hey. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he swam definitely runs
in the blood. In Montreal, he swam for the Virgin Islands, man.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's there. But it's just getting out of them. So
wow, man. To kind of end the community talk, what's maybe 3 things that you would love to see happen in your community in Cat City?
The main thing that is, again, I want to give those kids that are forgotten about, that are just kind of left in the things, you know, that aren't able to play AYSO or go to high school, you know what I mean? Just to have fun, man. And there's a big thing, and it's the Desert Recreation.
Okay.
So they basically overtake all the cities as far as, like, recreation ideas. So they build a gym, and any kid can go in there as long as you're a resident. You know, you can go in there and they do basketball, kinds of sports.
They have something like this?
Yeah, man. Where? Every single city besides Cathedral City and Indian Wells, bro.
Wow, I had no idea.
And Indian Wells, I'd expect that from because it's mostly retirees that there. But every other city besides us has it.
Wow.
And that's because we don't want to add it to our thing because I think they budget it out to, it would cost homeowners $150 extra a year.
How much do we pay for sidewalks?
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Like, we pay for sidewalks.
But then that goes back to what I was telling you about. Wow. But yeah, we can donate.
Jesus.
But then we can donate 55 G's to a fucking campaign. You know what I mean? and it's priorities. Jesus. You know what I mean? And that was the big thing that I was running on, is to give our youth something to do, man, other than just, you know, hang out at the skate park.
Right.
Or, you know, and there's different athletes all around, man, not right. just certain things. And so that's something that was really big on my platform, that is I wanted to do that, you know, right. is give, you know.
What do you have to talk to get that going? Like,
well, that
even to
stuff.
Pressure the people that yeah. Are in
well,
the
that.
Right
yeah.
Now, like, yo, right. what's up?
Well, it's just continuing to let your voice be heard, man.
Yeah.
You know, and making it loud enough to people hear you. You know what I mean? And I think that's why I'm going to continue to push forward with it and try to get people to vote on it and stuff like that, because you know I want to make sure our city continues.
Right.
How
right.
do people to wrap this up? I think we covered a lot of topics.
Right. Right.
How do people get a hold of you to get onto the Box Fit class? Or do you not have any spots left in your classes? Or
yeah, well, it's always changing. But
through your
the easiest way is just to go through 111conditioningclub.com.
Okay.
And then sign up for all of our classes, because we have a lot of amazing classes, not right. just Box Fit, but there's classes Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. that are really amazing. Right. And
is that only a class that you have? Is that the only class?
I only teach that class at
okay.
6, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But everything else is
it's like personal,
personal training and stuff like right. that. And you can always reach out to me at Premier Fitness 33
on IG.
On
hit that follow.
And you
man.
Also have amazing more trainers out of that gym. Like
yeah, yeah, we have.
Do they have specific requirements to be training there as well? Or like do they do only one-on-ones or do they
yeah,
teach
no,
classes?
Yeah, they do one-on-ones. Christian does some classes. Corey does some classes sometimes too. But most the other ones, they just do mostly one-on-ones and small groups right now
sweet.
Because of the situation we're in. But
right.
yeah, man, there are.
Right. Right.
Amazing. We have an amazing team there, man. I'm
yeah,
just
you
happy
guys
do.
Do.
I'm just
I'm
happy
always
to be part of it.
I love repping yoga.
Best,
yeah.
best of the valley.
Yeah.
For real,
or
man.
Yoga. Goya.
Goya.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we usually ask one question always, and it's if you were to look back at the you 10 years ago.
Shout out to Luis.
Yeah, this
he,
is his question.
Going
to be here today. Shout out to Luis. If you were to look back at, you know, 10 years ago you, what would you tell him? What advice would you tell him? Or what, you know, what would you say?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I wouldn't tell him shit.
Hey, I think this is the first time anybody's ever said
and,
that.
And
one.
I mean that
okay.
in the sense that the last 10 years got me to where I'm at right now.
Ooh.
So why would I change that?
Right. Right.
And I mean, I like hearing different perspectives
you
on
mean,
this.
Because
definitely.
It's the truth. You
definitely.
Mean? It's my truth.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because what if I tell that kid, work your ass off and things happen and you become this athlete that you wanted to be, but
you didn't build
who
on
knows that that's going to make me happy?
Yeah.
Right.
You mean?
Right.
Like, I'm
right.
blessed. I have a wife, a beautiful wife at home. I have three beautiful children. I have a great career. Like why would I want to change that?
That's good, bro.
Man, it's beautiful, bro.
You know?
What, you have any other things you want to, you know, put out there?
Just no, man, it was just dope to finally be on here and have a conversation with
you. Do you
guys.
Have any questions
guys.
For us?
but no, man, it's more of a statement, and I love the passion, the hustle that's behind it. You
sweet.
Mean because that
thanks,
that fruit will grow, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That seedle. Tree will fucking be there.
Right,
like
right.
Sebastian was told, you shouldn't fucking box. You should play basketball.
Right.
And he's on the verge of superstardom.
Yes,
and that's why
is.
This hustle isn't made for everybody, man.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what makes you guys great. And this is why, like, I was like, oh man, it'd be dope if they asked me, like, fuck, I've wanted it for a long
right,
time. You
right.
know what I mean? And so when you guys say, I was like, oh hell yeah, because I respect that. Hustle
right.
from you guys,
right.
you know, because I've been through that hustle. I
right.
know what that's like. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And to be a part of it was really dope, man. So fucking
thanks
a lot for having me.
Well,
out
thank
here.
You, man. I know
yeah.
I could speak on behalf of all of us. Thank you for coming out here and doing the interview, bro. And you know, hopefully we'll do one in the future again.
Yeah,
bro.
That's dope, man. It's good.
So
time.
Thank
or,
you, thank
or
you.
Some
appreciate
collaborations.
You
definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe on Seed Planner podcast
yeah,
too,
for
brother.
Sure,
so.
Man. Let me know. It'd be dope.
Thanks,
but yeah,
man.
Bro. Thank you, man. This is Selected Series. We're out.
Later. We'll